This podcast is brought to you by our new Free America t-shirt. Whether you're buying dad a gift for Father's Day or you need a new t-shirt for this summer, this is the most patriotic, perfect shirt around. It's made in America and the price is right. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, and get your Free America shirt today.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
For those who wish to, we will now kneel for our moment of silence.
You're looking at live pictures there of Democrats on Capitol Hill taking a knee. We believe it's going to last for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. You see there both Senator Chuck Schumer, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, taking a knee.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The systemic, the racist system needs to be revamped.
Jacob Fry, we have a yes or no question for you. Will you commit to defunding Minneapolis Police Department?
I do not support the full abolition of the
police. All right, get the
f***
out of here.
No, there's no justice like angry mob justice.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I couldn't vote for him in 96, and I certainly cannot in any way support President Trump this year. I'm very close to Joe Biden, and he is now the candidate, and I will be voting for him.
You want him, you got him.
Not to let American lives and the U.S. economy on the world hang on. His confidence, quote, the Chinese word.
If I ever seen that senile, get a gun and what are you doing with that gun?
Unchained and unstoppable.
Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous?
That comes from a place of privilege. I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Next time you need help, call a hippie. It was a bumper sticker back in the 70s, late 60s. Also, support your local police, which became a movie called Support Your Local Sheriff, a comedy movie. Anyway, we're going to try to find a copy of support. Next time you need help, call a hippie, because some of those bumper stickers actually had hippies on them. It would be appropriate to tweet out. I don't know if it's worth making it into a T-shirt or anything like that. But still, whatever happened to we're all in this together? I thought we were all in this together. Now everybody's screaming at each other. I have to say, I used to live in North Carolina, as most of you know. After I got out of college, college was Orange County, and I lived in Forsyth County, and right in the middle was a place called Alamance County, which I didn't care for all that much. But I must say, I really appreciate Alamance County today. I don't know if you heard about this. They have a speedway in Alamance County, the Ace Speedway, and they wanted to reopen. And so they got a Democrat governor, Roy Cooper. He's the one who basically shut down the Republican convention in Charlotte in the summer. And so he said there couldn't be any more gatherings of more than 25 people in, as part of the state's phase two. He's a dead ender, like Charlie Parker and Janet Mills and all the rest of them. Gina Raimondo. He won't open up under any circumstances in reality. So he said no more than 25 people. So do you know what Ace Speedway did? They posted a sign outside the speedway on Saturday night. This event is held in peaceful protest of injustice and inequality everywhere. And 2,000 people showed up. From what I saw on the video of it, very, very few of them had a mask at this protest. So God bless Alamance County, Burlington, Haw River, Elon College, and all the rest of those other great places. And God bless those 2,000 people who showed up. 844-500-4242. I guess they got into trouble. They did something on Memorial Day weekend, and they were threatened. So that's when they decided to say it was a protest. And now what are they going to do? What are they going to do? 844-500-4242. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to speak to Bernie Kerik, the former police commissioner of New York City, about this defund the police, this outrage du jour. It's not going to go anywhere, I don't think. But, you know, because, again, next time you need help, call a member of Antifa. Okay? I don't think so, unless you want your house looted. But so Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island has been the she was the leader in imposing these draconian unconstitutional quarantines and shutdowns. She's the one who, even before Charlie Parker or Jabba the Hutt Pritzker or even Gretchen Whitmer, she said, we're going to stop cars with New York license plates at the border, which, you know, to me sounds like a complete violation of Article 4, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. All this, the citizens of the several states all have equal rights in those states, no matter what kind of license plate they've got on their car. But she went ahead with it, and she's just kept everything shut down, shut down all the way through. And she just keeps threatening people and extending stuff. So there was a protest Friday night at the State House in Providence. Gina Raimondo, the Eva Braun of Team Lockdown, came out, and guess what she wasn't wearing? She wasn't wearing a mask.
Barbaric.
She wasn't wearing a mask. I think we should hear some of the sound cuts from Gina Raimondo. This is a classic do as I say, not as I do moment. Okay? Let's play the most obnoxious one there is, Grace. Tell Taylor which is the most obnoxious one. How about You Will All Be Punished? 28. Let's play 28.
You know, I want to be clear. This isn't, we don't want to punish anyone. We don't want to levy a fine on anyone. Our goal is to make it easy for you to stay in quarantine by doing a better job on our end of providing you with food delivery, medicine delivery, and help that you need to stay in your house. But we're also very serious about this.
Very
and
serious.
And if you are
except
found to be deliberately, knowingly, purposefully, repeatedly violating your quarantine and isolation, well, then you will be punished. Because this is just as important as any other law. It's necessary to keep everybody safe
what
and healthy and alive.
What law is it exactly, Gina? It's not a law. It's an order. You will be punished. Cut 25.
But I will tell you this. What does quarantine mean? It means you cannot leave your house. If you are ordered into quarantine, you cannot leave your house.
You cannot leave your house unless you want to have a riot downtown and loot.
Howie, when this
the Providence Place Mall.
When this all started, I thought people kept saying, oh, this is just the government wanting to take over. And I still think, obviously, the coronavirus, I feel bad for everyone who passed away, and I know that it's serious. But listening back now after these protests have happened and listening back to someone like Gina Raimondo, it is scary that they're saying, this is a really good day to stay in your house and read, and we'll bring you all your groceries and we'll bring you all your medicine. Just do what you're told. Just do what you're told. And it's clearly doesn't actually scare her if she's out there amongst hundreds
exactly.
of people.
Here's what she said when she was asked about this. We don't have any sound. She didn't come out to threaten anybody this time. She sent out an email after people called her on being the biggest hypocrite in the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. The late hours in front of the State House last night were tense and hectic, and in that moment, I neglected to put on a mask. Will she be punished, Grace? She said everybody else would be punished. Will she be punished? Do we have one set of laws in this country? Whatever happened to blind justice?
Howie, I don't want her to be punished. I don't want to have to fine her. I take no joy in that, but she will be punished, period. $100 fine, please, Gina.
Yeah, that was wrong. It was counter to our public health guidance, and I apologize. You will be punished, though. I don't care if you apologize. You will be punished. I have worked today to track down the names of those I was in contact with so they can be added to my contact tracing notebook. Wait a sec. I'm sorry. That's not good enough. You're not going to be allowed to plea bargain this case down. We've been trying to find the former Republican state rep, Barbie Nardalillo, and he said, he tweeted out, well, I'll say it, after Raimondo's reckless behavior of not wearing a mask and not properly social distancing, I'd say, in all caps, knock it off, Gina. Go to timeout for 14 days. That's what people rent a car, and it happens to have New York plates on it, and she ordered them to be quarantined for 2 weeks. She walks out in front of 10,000 quote-unquote peaceful protesters. I don't know if they were the same ones who looted the mall downtown a couple of days earlier, but they were out there, and she just addressed them with no mask on. So why is it okay for her to do it, just like it's okay for Karen Pulido to have a big kegger at her brother's house on Lake Quinsigamond, but it's not okay for us to go outside? How does that work? How does that work? Do we have one more to play before the break? Let's see. She's a very religious person. Here she is, just another of her hectoring people. Cut 24.
So I am imploring you, no matter how hard it is, no matter how important you think that meeting is or getting together with friends is, please do not do it.
Please.
Because if you do, you'll be endangering the lives of our healthcare workers, our physicians, your friends, the elderly, and Rhode Islanders who you know and love.
You can't go to Mass on Sunday unless there's fewer than 10 people. But you can loot. Feel free to loot. Feel free to riot.
But Howie, she says,
feel free
I don't
to set
care.
Fires.
She says, what? No matter how important the meeting is or meeting with your friends is, what about funerals for people? What about weddings? What about massive life events that she didn't let people go to?
Graduations.
But she just says it like, oh, you're meeting. What about wakes? People who didn't get to mourn the deaths of their loved ones. Yeah. These people are such hypocrites.
I know. And this is just the good thing about all these riots is that it has really, you know, strip the mask off the face of these hypocrites.
How ironic. Are,
these petty tyrants.
How ironic when we're all supposed to be wearing them.
Well, it has. I didn't even mean it that way. But I you know what? It was a perfect simile, wasn't it? It's ripped the mask off the face of Gina Raimondo in this case and others in other cases. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or family's music or podcasts or whatever. And Raycon wireless earbuds, which I'm holding up now, are the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo have to self-quarantine after she appeared in public without a mask?
Yeah. And she should have to contact trace with all the thousands of people who were at that demonstration, too. That's the rules for everybody else.
100% say yes, she should be self-quarantining.
I'm sure it'll go down to 98 or 97% as the afternoon goes on. All right, it's time for a cheap bastard deal. We've got another nice one here. Out of state.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a
deal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Car Cheap Bastard deal.
Howie Car, the cheapest bastard around.
Our cheap bastard deal today is for the Follins Bee Inn on Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. And this is a $200 value, a one-night stay for $100 each, so it's half price. And this is a great way to get out of Boston. It's only 90 minutes from Boston, but it's a really fine place, and you can get out from under this phase 1, phase 2 stuff that's not really phasing out anything. You can get up to a freer part of America. Joining us on the line now is Dennis Swords. He's the owner of the Follins Bee Inn on Kezar Lake. Thanks for being with us, Dennis, and thanks for taking part in our cheap bastard deal.
Thank you, Howie, and that was a great introduction. Like you say, we're 90 minutes away from Boston, and the governor, as of last Friday, has opened up our business to in-staters and out-of-staters. So we're open to all of America. And we're looking forward to having guests from the shut-in areas, Boston, New York, and wherever.
The shut-in areas. That's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of that. I may use that. So what does Follins Bee Inn have to offer people from the shut-in areas?
Well, it's a iconic, beautiful, iconic, award-winning inn. It's built in 1840. We are right on Kezar Lake. Kezar is a 200-acre lake, crystal clear, pristine lake, great for boating, swimming, fishing. I offer canoes and kayaks for the guests to use. They're complimentary use from my dock. We're right on the lake, so it's right there. We have 17 guest rooms. Every room is unique. Every room has its own private bathroom. Most of the rooms have a great lake view, so they're beautiful rooms with beautiful views. We start our days here with a delicious gourmet breakfast. Breakfasts are one of the favorite parts of my guests who come back every year. We have a hot meal with sides. We have the main meal. We have the sides. We have a homemade granola, fresh fruit, and fresh squeezed orange juice every day.
And you're from New Orleans. You're not a chef, but you're from New Orleans, so we know if anybody's ever been to New Orleans, they have great breakfast down there.
That's true. New Orleans, we live
those sweet rolls. And what do they call those sweet rolls?
Now you're talking about sweet rolls. You're talking about beignets.
That's it. I don't know the French pronunciation. I was going to say baguettes, but you're right. That's the way to pronounce it. Those things are delicious.
Yes, and I make beignets, and it's one of those things where if you go online, you'll see there's 100 recipes. All of them claim to be Café Du Monde beignets, Café Du Monde being the famous beignet restaurant in New Orleans, and none of them taste at all like Café Du Monde beignets. So I started with one of those recipes that was as close as I could find, and I worked with it for months to come up with my recipe for beignets. But,
well, this is great. This sounds like a hell of a deal, and are the rooms available for any time when people order them?
Yes.
Anytime. Follins Bee Inn on Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's only 90 minutes from Boston. This is a $200 value for $100. Go to HowieCarsShow.com, HowieCarsShow.com, and click on store. We only have a limited number, so get on board now. Thanks, Dennis Swords. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. And joining us now on the line is Bernie Carrick. He's the former New York City Police Commissioner, and we wanted to get him on to discuss this, the latest fad from the far left, and that is defund the police. Bernie Carrick, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks, Howie.
Listen, I want to play this cut. You probably, I'm sure most people have heard it by now, but just in case some people haven't, this is Minneapolis City Council President Lisa Bender on CNN this morning with Allison Camerata. And I just want to get, I want to play it before we get your reaction and start the conversation there. Cut three.
Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous? For instance, what if in the middle of the night my home is broken into? Who do I call?
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors. And I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege, because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
Bernie Kerik, what's your take on that? It could be, she basically saying calling the police, calling 911 is white privilege.
She's a kook. I don't even know. I don't have words for it. It's the stupidity of it, the lunacy. You know, every day, and I'll use New York City as a backdrop for this. In 1994, when Giuliani took over New York City, we had the highest murder rate, highest violent crime rate of any large city in the world. In the world. Over the 8 years Giuliani was in office, violent crime dropped 63%, homicide dropped close to 70%, the most substantial reductions in U.S. history, never been replicated since or before. But here's the deal. The people that benefited, the greatest benefactors from those substantial reductions of violent crime and murder, was the black community. These cops went out every day, went into communities. They didn't care about people's color or their religion or where they grew up or where they came from. They went because that's where the crime was. They didn't go looking for black targets. They went because that's where the crime was, and as a result, they reduced that crime, and those benefactors, the communities of color, had the most substantial reductions of violent crime and murder than any other cities in the country. And this woman saying basically it's white privilege, she's a kook. She's a nut. I can't even explain it.
Well, you know, when he was running for president earlier this year, Michael Bloomberg basically had said the same thing that you just said about the advances that were made in the neighborhoods of color, as they're called now, and how crime had been cut because of these innovations, including stop and frisk. And he was basically forced to apologize for what he had said. And now it's gone even a step further than that.
Well, he was forced to apologize because he cowered to the radical left. He cowered to these anarchists. You know, they have taken a whole bunch of the ideology out of the communist Marxist handbooks, right? If you read the Antifa handbook, mm-hmm. defund the police, diminish the police, take the power away from the government, like all that stuff, it's all communist rhetoric. Basically, Bloomberg cowered to that rhetoric, and he got up there and said, oh, you know what? The 12 years I was in office and the 6 years since, I was mistaken. And I don't know what he thought reduced crime or kept that crime reduced as it was. But at the end of the day, his apology was ridiculous, because anybody that was there, and I was there in the beginning, I was there when the reductions were more substantial than anything in the history of the country. I know what did it. I did it. I actually did it. So all these people that say it can't be done or it's something else, it's nonsense, especially in my eyes, because I was there and I did it.
How did the police or de Blasio let Macy's get basically looted last week? Among many other places. And how do you let St. Patrick's Cathedral get vandalized with the horrible graffiti on it, and then refuse to prosecute the guy who was the getaway driver for the vandals? How does that work? I mean, St. Patrick's Cathedral and Macy's, you don't get too much more iconic symbols of New York than those
right.
two things.
They're two of the biggest landmark buildings in the city itself. You know, here's how I you know, a lot of people said the police department didn't do their job. How would you handle it? So I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have gone to Giuliani and said, look, I want to put 10,000 cops on the streets during a tour when this stuff was going on, but I also want to put 10,000 National Guard. I want to call the governor, get the National Guard, take those National Guard units and secure all the iconic buildings. Take the National Guard, secure the synagogues, the churches, the Macy's, the real estate venues, Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, Soho, all the hot spots where these maniacs went and destroyed. That's where you put the National Guard. It's sort of like working in a military war zone where you go out and you secure the critical infrastructure. I would have done that with the National Guard, then let the cops go do their job. But de Blasio wanted a light touch. Those are his words. I don't know what exactly that means other than handcuffing the police. Don't use the appropriate units that he should have been using. Where is the mounted unit? We have the largest mounted horse unit in the country, like 120, 140 horses. The best, you don't have a better tool in dealing with riots and crowds. Didn't even bring out one horse. Why? He wanted to do a light touch. Well, he got a light touch in enforcement, and he got a super heavy touch in destruction.
Well, they did bring out the horses yesterday, I believe, right? Now one of the cops got knocked off the horse, right?
Well, it may have been last night. I didn't watch last night because I'm sick of watching at this point. I didn't see it last night, but it's sort of a little too much too late.
So, but I mean, what can the cops do? It seems like it's not just the politicians that are involved in this. The judges have taken their cues. They really like this no bail. I mean, look at those two lawyers. One of them was an Ivy Leaguer. Both of them had good jobs in white shoe law firms, and they're throwing Molotov cocktails into police vehicles with four cops in them. And the judge basically let them go with again light bail. It took the feds to go back in there and get them in detention. I mean, you're a lawyer from Princeton, and you throw a Molotov cocktail into a police vehicle, and they basically let you go on an easy to make bail. It's crazy, isn't it?
You know what, Howie? There's I think people would be surprised. I think there's a total number of four lawyers. You had those two, then you had another one, and I think there was a fourth that were throwing firebombs. And so here's my response to those events and things like those. Every one of these circumstances where there is obvious, you know, engaging of extreme violence, they should take those arrests federal, because there are federal crimes for engaging in extreme violence, rioting, coming from another state to do it, things like that. There are federal statutes, and they have mandatory minimums. If I was the police commissioner, I'd be working with the U.S. attorney, working with the FBI, go out, grab these people, number one, to charge them with the extreme violence, and number two, you know what, you want a lesser plea, you want to take a plea, then you're going to tell me who paid you to come here, who told you to come here, who you're working with, who the coordinators are, who the organizers are, where the money's coming from, then we can talk about a deal.
Wouldn't it be good for New York to have a squad that goes after Antifa the way after 9/11 they had a squad that watched out for what was happening in some of the more radical mosques?
Yeah, well, you would have that if you had, you know, a mayor that wasn't a coward and a radical leftist. If you had a governor that was doing his job, if you had an attorney general, a state attorney general that was doing her job, you would have that, but you're never going to have that with those three people in charge. You know, it's going to take a different political leadership.
As a cop for your entire career, Bernie Kerik, what do you think when you see these cops, many of them black cops, being shot down, like Patrick Underwood, a federal agent in Oakland, or David Dorn, the retired captain who was killed outside the outside the pawn shop in St. Louis. And other than Fox, it gets no play. There's no mention of these black law enforcement officers being killed by these mobs.
Yeah, but you know what, Howie? Think of it this way. I try not to look at it, especially on the law enforcement side, the cops, just as I do with perpetrators. For me, I don't look at the race. But here's the one thing that really bothers me. Last weekend and this weekend are two of the most gruesome days in Chicago's history in the last 60 years. You know, 23 people were killed last weekend. 18 people were killed this weekend in a 24-hour period. They don't have numbers like that in Baghdad. These are black-on-black, the black-on-black slaughter of Americans. And there ain't a damn thing being said by anybody in the mainstream media, anybody in the DNC, anybody anywhere. Nobody's talking about it. Yet they'll say that there's systematic abuses by police. There is not. Statistically, that is completely a lie. But I tell you one thing, there is systematic slaughtering of black young men and women in cities like Chicago, and the DNC, the Democratic Party, and the mainstream media, they're not doing a thing about it.
Yeah, I read the story in the Chicago Tribune, Bernie Carrick. You probably did, too. I mean, most of the people that were killed, those 18 people that were killed, were just law-abiding citizens. They were driving around the city, or one of them was at a gas station, and they just opened fire on them. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason to any of these murders. No. If you can justify any kind of shooting, but there was nothing. It was just like it was target practice almost.
No, that's exactly right. This is 1,000% complete lawlessness in a city, in one of the biggest cities in America, and nobody's saying one word about it. They're all focused. You know, it's the typical Marxist, communist, you know, ideology, create a diversion, focus on something else. Don't let them talk about the realities of what's going on. And in these cities, like Chicago, like Baltimore, like a number of them, this stuff is happening, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I think at some point, communities of color, I think they're waking up, they're looking at the Democratic leadership that's been in those towns for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and they're saying, you know, what's the deal? Why is it still like this? Why is it getting worse? What is anybody doing about it? They're not Democrats. They're not helping. They're not helping. They are destroying communities of color. Forget about not helping. They are destroying them.
Bernie Carrick, former police commissioner of the city of New York. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That police officer was thrown off his horse in London. I saw the story in the New York Post, but it was in London. So I'm sorry I got that wrong. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And thanks to Bernie Carrick, former police commissioner, for being with us. Ketty, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ketty.
Hi, Howie. I just wanted to ask you a question, and it may not be politically correct. But what makes the people in Black Lives Matter think that with the demographic shift that's going on in this country, that the large group of people from south of the border and the increasing Muslim population, that these people are going to tolerate the kind of behavior that they engage in because they're guilt-tripping people of Northern European descent?
I don't know the answer to that question. What's going to happen? I don't think anybody is willing to tolerate anarchy. Anarchy has never worked anywhere, because anarchy just means that the strong armed violent mob is going to take over. That's all. Anarchy is a way station between civilization and a tyranny, a dictatorship. And it can't last. You can't have minor cities, let alone major cities, major population groups with no law and order. And that's what it's all about. I mean, it sounds like a cliche in your high school civics class that we are a nation of laws, not of men. But when you think about it, it's true. If you're a nation of men, you know, calling the shots, they're going to just call the shots whatever benefits them. And if you don't have enough power or clout or weapons, you're going to end up on the short end of the stick. And there's always somebody stronger than you are. You could ask any dictator in the past. That's what they find out. And this is not a good formula for anybody's life. Thanks for the call, Kitty. Hal, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Hal.
Hey, Howie. I'm in West Roxbury. Last Monday, there was a vigil or a gathering here, and the police got intel that Antifa was going to fire or at least burn down the station. They still have barricades around that station, and the convenience store right next door is still boarded up. And I call them Marty's Windows in honor of Marty Walsh. There are a number of businesses right here in West Roxbury that are still boarded up. And I guess they must be still concerned that there's still going to be violence. So.
Well, do you blame them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't. I think the businessmen should be in their stores with rifles. But no, I don't blame them at all, because the police, it's obvious that the police aren't able to deal with such large amounts of demonstrations.
Or they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to, I think, is more like it. And the other thing, too, is if the city hadn't, the state hadn't been shut down for the last 3 months, do you think this would be going on if people were still walking around on, like, Center Street or anywhere, you know, shopping and going about their daily business?
Believe so.
Yeah, I think it would be less likely that you would have this state of affairs if they hadn't totally overreacted to this panic, which is mainly centered, again, in, as I've said before, in nursing homes. 62-63% of the fatalities are in the nursing homes. And yet the governor has seen fit to shut down the entire state. How's that one working out for you, Tal Duvall? We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.